Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercies. And today, as always, we pray that the entrance of your word will bring light into our hearts. Our hearts will be gladdened, and we will rejoice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we've been doing the wisdom series, and today I want to do a review and then just wrap it up. So you'll get a chance to do your own reviews as well today. So prepare your remarks, your comments, and your shares. We've been on this series now about 8 or 9 days. So, you know, it's probably a lot that you have learned, and you might be able to share something out of all that wealth of wisdom and knowledge now, and inspire others by your voice. So thank you for being here. The attributes of divine wisdom. Let's start there. In the book of James chapter 3:17, that's the one we used to cover that. And I also give that as a memory verse. What does divine wisdom look like? So we covered that. And we looked at the 7 attributes of divine wisdom. And I said not to be confused with the 7 pillars, but we want to tell you the kind of wisdom that we will be going into before we got there. So we talked about that. And so that was about the attributes of divine wisdom. And how did he put it? He said, well, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle, and it is also easy to be entreated. It is full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, so, and we were encouraged, invited, and even instructed to ask of wisdom. If we lack wisdom, say, let every man who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But you ask in faith, because if you don't ask in faith, you will receive nothing. And then we went on to the pillars of wisdom themselves. You know, once we had defined what real wisdom from above looks like, 7 pillars of wisdom we chose. Foundation scripture was Proverbs 9:1, which tells us that wisdom has built a house and hewn out her 7 pillars. We talked about pillars, load-bearing columns that hold up the structure of the house. And sometimes you may see cracks in the house, which indicates that the pillars are not setting right, and we may need to fix the cracks. Fix the pillars also, because if you don't, cracks may reappear. So, the cracks that we may have to deal with in our lives, some of these cracks may have led to regrets, delays, disappointments, failures, sicknesses, lack of advancement, losses. I mean, sometimes even severe losses, job, wealth, problems in the marriage, and different things like that. But by application of these wisdom principles, we can make repairs and fix these cracks and have better outcomes. I've covered many scriptures in Proverbs, and another foundational scripture was in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 to 14. Wisdom was speaking and called out its own pillars. I gave an acronym for the seven pillars of wisdom, just to help us remember. You can build your own acronyms, but these are just things that help me. I call them memory helpers. You know, that's how I call my acronyms. I always love to use acronyms for various things. Well, not in the order in which we have presented the pillars, but you can think of KUPDCSF or FCS, KUPD. I mean, these letters represent the first letters of each of these pillars. The first one, of course, the fear of the Lord, which we are told is the beginning of wisdom. We cover that extensively. We covered also the benefits thereof. Proverbs 9:10 talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. Likewise, Proverbs 15:33 and Psalm 111 verse 10. I'm going to go through these very quickly because we already covered them. Talk about fear of the Lord in the heart of man is something more than gold. And the benefits, my goodness. Not only are we commanded to have the fear of the Lord, we are commanded also to teach it to our children. And we have to seek this fear of the Lord and teach it to our children. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 10 and Psalms 34 and verse 11. We're to teach it to our children as well as us learning it. Many promises and benefits of the fear of the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 7, it brings us protection from the angel of the Lord. It also brings us healing and divine health according to Malachi 4 verse 2. And it will do us good always according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 24 and 25 and so on and so forth. There are many other things, you know, and then we looked at examples of people who demonstrated fear of the Lord and at other times when they didn't. Fear of the Lord in the life of David, when he wouldn't touch Saul, even though he had the opportunity to avenge himself on his enemy, he wouldn't do it because he had the fear of the Lord and he respected the anointing of the Lord that was upon the king. And we talked about the fear of the Lord in the life of Joseph. I wouldn't let the wife of Potiphar seduce him. And then we talked about the lack of the fear of the Lord in the life of David, in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah. You know, so all of those things we covered. Then we went on to the next pillar, which was prudence, powerful stuff. We defined the prudence, the quality of being cautious and exercising, shrewdness and common sense and circumspection as to danger or risk. We talked about in the book of Proverbs 22 and 3, the prudent man foreseeth the evil, hideth himself, but the simple pass on and they are punished or destroyed. Talk about many things, you know, the ability to exercise good judgment, the use and management of our talent, our skills, and our resources. We can give some examples. Jesus, in the story of the talents, the one that could not develop his talent or use his talent for anything. You know, then I presented the fact that every one of us has some talents, given even at birth, already there. You have to discover it and then you have to develop it. Maybe a talent for singing, maybe a talent for music, maybe a talent for this or that. You know, it's usually there already. You know, some people can't develop it. And we have the opportunity to develop our talent into a skill, you know, or you have the opportunity to just bury the talent. We saw some stories like that in the Bible. If you develop your talent into a skill and you work on the skill long enough, you can become competent at it. You develop the competence into something, that it can become an expertise, you know. And then from expertise, you may become an authority. So grow your talent into a skill, develop your skill into competence, competence into expertise, expertise into becoming an authority. Powerful stuff. You know, and we talked about, you know, how to manage relationships with people and even people who, you know, are users and things like that. How do you manage those relationships? You know, we showed the example of how Jesus managed the relationship that he had with Judas. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. As a matter of fact, he chose him. You know, but he managed that to his own advantage because he needed somebody who would be a traitor, you know, to be in the camp, you know. So how do you do all of those? You know, we talked about the classes of people you should disengage from, you know, and the people you should surround yourself with. Disengage from people who do not respect your values. Scripture says in Philippians 4 and 5, communicate your values. You know, let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, communicate where you stand on issues. And if someone doesn't respect your values and constantly, you know, on the other side, those are people you should disengage from. The Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine, your jewels to dogs and things like that. You know, disengage from negative critics who always focus on your weakness only to stomp you down. Disengage from would-be destiny destroyers, those who are envious of your progress. Disengage from users who don't care about your goodwill, you know. I mean, they don't have goodwill towards you. They don't care about your advancement. They don't care about anything about you, but only to use you for, you know, what you can give them or what they can get from you. When they got in that, they turn against you, become a rival or even worse. You know, so those are the kinds of people to disengage from. And if sometimes it's impossible to disengage, maybe you may be at work or whatever, and you can't disengage from those kinds of people, then you have to know how to manage that relationship. We talked about managing your time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17 says, you know, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Manage your time. Don't waste your time in things that are unfruitful. We talked about managing your health even, you know, and so on and so forth. Then we talked about some of the benefits of prudence that it would even cause us to escape danger, give you the capacity to cover shame. A prudent person, a prudent wife is a blessing from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14. It brings promotion. Isaiah 52 and verse 13. And also it generates understanding. Proverbs 14 and 8. I'm going through it quickly. We've already covered and given all these scriptures in previous lessons. You know, so I'm not stopping to read all the scriptures. Then we went on to the pillar of knowledge. Knowledge, Proverbs 8 and 12, is a pillar of wisdom. The capacity that leads to witty inventions and discoveries. You know, it's defined as facts, information, awareness, comprehension, familiarity, intelligence, and skills that a person may acquire through experience or learning. You know, and it is also the capacity to use this acquired information, to inspire your mind to create solutions. That's knowledge. We talked about at the corridors of influence, the knowledge being the king, powerful stuff. And, wisdom builds the house, understanding establishes it, but it is by knowledge that the chambers are filled with precious and pleasant things. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. You know, and we talk about the knowledge, what you know that others don't know is what gives you an advantage. You know, and we gave some examples of the children of Daniel and his companions when they were in captivity. They had an advantage. They were already skilled in learning sciences and things like that. And Nebuchadnezzar told the recruiters, look for those who already know science, who have the ability to learn quickly, that we can teach the tongues of the Chaldeans, and these are the ones to bring into the court of the king, and so forth. You know, so the ability to learn, be a quick study, and things like that, you know, gave them an advantage. And the things they knew that others did not know gave them an advantage as well. You know, Paul, you know, instructed Timothy to give attendance to reading. He said, give until I come, give attendance to reading. You know, he talked to him in Timothy chapter 4, from verses 12 to 15. The Bible also says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that my people perish due to lack of knowledge. Now, and another warning that follows that, say, if we reject knowledge, I also will reject you. We talk about knowledge, you know, or the lack of it causes even nations, you know, the impact of it globally causes nations to be impoverished. You know, if they have the leaders can't exercise good knowledge, you know, and then we talked about, you know, many other things about knowledge, how we can always learn and not to, I mean, you can't exhaust knowledge, really. You know, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said in Ecclesiastes 1 and 13, I gave myself to seek out knowledge of all the things done underneath the earth, you know, or underneath the sun, sorry. So the capacity to seek out knowledge, all kinds of learning, you know, is, you know, it's also knowledge. And, you know, it is a good thing to know a little about everything. You can't be an expert in everything. You can be an expert in one or two things, but you need to know a little about everything so you can hold your own. You know, knowledge gives you confidence. You know, if you're, you know, if you're standing in the midst of people and trying to speak, you can hold your own if you have knowledge of the matter at hand. You know, when Paul told Timothy not to allow himself to be despised because of his youth, you know, the antidote that he gave him for that was knowledge. He said, look, give yourself to learning and attendance to reading so that nobody can, you know, despise your youth. If you can hold your own, nobody's going to despise you. We saw that Jesus at age 12 was able to hold his own among scholars, doctors of philosophy, and so on. Knowledge, powerful stuff. It will cause your house to be filled with all precious things and pleasant things. You know, and it will bring you success. It will give you an advantage and elevate you to great heights. You know, it gives you influence. And we saw that in the life of Daniel. The knowledge and the things that he had gave him influence and a great advantage. And, you know, overall, it is the, you know, the knowledge of the Son of God, even in spiritual things, is the goal. According to, you know, Ephesians chapter 4, you know, and verse 13. I mean, the ultimate goal is for us to come into the knowledge of the Son of God and to be filled with all the fullness of God, according to Ephesians. The prayer that Paul was praying for those young folks that he brought to the Lord, to be filled with all the fullness of God. And the prayer in Ephesians 1, prayer in Ephesians 3, knowledge, powerful stuff. Then we went on to counsel. As you can see, I'm going through this very quickly. Counsel, again, also is a pillar of wisdom. You know, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. And it talks about, you know, the things that are buried inside the heart of man. You know, wells of understanding that are buried inside the heart of man. But the man that has, I mean, counsel will draw it out and understanding. So counsel, we approach it for two different ways. The counsel that you give to others and the counsel within your own self to make right choices. Powerful stuff, this counsel. You know, it gives you direction in making a decision as to the course of action. Counsel within yourself is even more important than counsel you give to another. Most people, when they think of counsel, they only think of, you know, what they give to another. Advice you give to somebody else. But it's counsel for your own life. That's even more important. In our secular world today, counselors may be referred to as consultants. And good counsel comes from the Lord. We talk about Job chapter 32, verses 4 to 8. Counsel and understanding, you know, they come from the Lord. And counsel is at the core, very core of those pillars of wisdom. If you can exhibit good counsel, it's almost called wisdom by itself. You know, wisdom was speaking and said, counsel is mine. In Proverbs 8:14. Also in Proverbs 20 and verse 5, he says, counsel is from the Lord. You know, and Job asked many questions about, where can you find counsel? Where is the place of understanding? Nobody knows where it's at, but it's found from the Lord, and so on and so forth. Now, this skill will become invaluable in your life if you know how to use it well. Ahithophel, we gave his example, was a man that gave counsel like an angel of God. Jethro gave counsel to Moses. How that Moses was going to wear himself out, handling all the matters by himself. And we also brought out the example that, look, just because you are gifted in the things of the Lord, might be a powerful person, you know, with spiritual gifts and things, that doesn't mean you have counsel. Moses needed counsel. He was a great man of God, had done great miracles, and power and so forth. But he wasn't doing things the right way. He himself was trying to counsel, you know, and hear the matters of millions of people. And so they would line up all day long. The people were weary because the line was too long. And he himself was weary because he was the only one. Jethro, his father-in-law, gave him counsel of how to do it. And he himself was, Moses, humble enough to accept that counsel. We talk about Joseph and the great counsel that he gave in Egypt that actually promoted him. It wasn't just the fact that he could interpret the dream. I mean, might have interpreted the dream without giving counsel. It was the counsel that he gave of what to do with what the dream meant that Pharaoh and all the other counselors and so forth that saw, and they said, wow. Pharaoh said, there's nobody else as discreet, as wise as you. So you're going to be the one in charge. And that's what actually promoted him. The ability for him to give incredible counsel, forward-looking, strategic counsel. I also mentioned that, look, if you can apply this in your careers, you become invaluable to the company that you work for. If you know how to give forward-thinking strategy. And leaders, especially executives in companies, there are people that can do that. They have, you know, strategy. They are forward thinking. They're strategic planning. That's what they look for in leaders. Those leaders at that level, they don't even apply for jobs. People seek them out because of the great counsel. It's kind of like Solomon was sought out from all the world because of his wisdom and the counsel that he had. You know, 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 to 34. It told us all that he was sought out, you know, and Queen of Sheba also came to seek us out. Well, God also promised his counsel upon the church. You know, he said, look, at the end, you will be called sought out. Hallelujah. Isaiah 62 and verse 12. Now, you know, I mentioned a few things that you should develop within yourself for counsel. You know, surround yourself with people that give good counsel. See, this is the secret to great success. It's what David did and other great people. They always surround themselves with people that can give them good counsel. Every purpose is established by counsel. Proverbs 20 and verse 18. And without counsel, purposes are disannulled. You know, so you may make plans. You may have New Year resolution, this and that and what have you. If you don't have real counsel, you know, an understanding, then some of those things may not come to pass. So, surround yourself with people that can give you good counsel. Learn also the art of effective communication. Very important. Because if you want to give advice, you have to know how to communicate it. We talked about the story of Nathan in 2 Samuel chapter 12. He used communication skills to address David in the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah. You know, and your problem-solving skills through knowledge and counsel, you have to develop those as well. The Bible also tells us to, you know, learn to develop our speech so that it be seasoned with grace. So we know how to answer every man. You know, a good word that's spoken is like, you know, ointment, the Bible says, you know, brings you refreshing. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Also Colossians 4 and verse 6. Many benefits from counsel that we have already talked about. I mean, make your plans with counsel. You know, pick your fights. Don't just, you know, don't just waste your spiritual capital on everything. After counsel, you know, I think we went to discretion. Discretion, we concentrated mostly on, you know, knowing what to say and when to say it, and knowing what to not say and when to not say it, and knowing what to divulge and what to keep. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, first 8 verses, tells us about a time to do this and a time to do that. Discretion will give you understanding concerning when to speak and when not to speak, what to reveal and what not to reveal. We talked about need to know, you know, and, you know, how to stop backbiting and tailbearing and so forth. You know, tailbearers have no discretion. You know, backbiters have no discretion. They just open their mouth and say things that they shouldn't say. And I caution the people, don't lend ears to somebody like that. An angry countenance is what drives away a tailbearer. You know, so all of these things we covered. The effects of a tailbearer can be like deep wounds, Proverbs 26 and verse 22. But how do you stop them? Well, that's in Proverbs 25 and 23. You have a very, very angry countenance. Don't lend ear to it. You know, if you laugh and enjoy when they tell you these things, you know, you are giving them validation to continue in their ways. But if you rebuke that, Bible says, look, I have no fellowship with the unfruitful words of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, so, you know, the ability to make responsible decisions and the choice, you know, to choose. You know, people say it's your discretion. Use your discretion. Well, life is full of choices, we talked about. And, you know, you gotta use discernment and good judgment to make the right decisions. There are many benefits of discretion. It'll keep you from the strange woman he talks to men. It'll keep the men also from being, women also from being taken advantage of. You know, and it'll help you to guide your affairs. Psalm 112 verse 5. It'll also keep you from anger and an angry spirit. Proverbs 19 verse 11. It'll be life to your souls and grace to your neck. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 21 and 22. Many, many benefits, you know, so I'm just picking out some here and there. You know, then we talked about understanding, my goodness, or insight. Understanding, you know, so powerful. It covers just so many things, you know, even in the things of the kingdom. You know, a person that hears the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 13, and does not understand it, the devil will come and pluck it out of his heart. Those are the seed that fell by the wayside. So understanding is so key. We're even told to understand what the will of the Lord is in our life. Very important. Understanding the will of the Lord. I mean, understanding, we broke it down when we started to talk about insight. I called the insight, you know, my own synonym for understanding. You have insight into things. Well, insight, I mean, has three dimensions. You know, hindsight is kind of insight over things that are in the past. You know, all of a sudden, looking back now, you can learn wisdom from maybe some of the things you did well, or even some things which you didn't do well. That's insight in a backward looking way. We call it hindsight. You know, unfortunately, hindsight is a teacher to most people. You know, in hindsight, we see that we made many mistakes and then we start to pick up the pieces. But if we use insight correctly and make, you know, good plans towards foresight, you may actually avoid many of those pitfalls. So we talk about insight. We talk about also foresight. Here is a law that we said, look, if you don't, you can't really be better than yesterday if you don't learn to move beyond your past. Whether the past was good or bad, success or failure. If it was success and you know, rest on your oars, you would not get new successes. If it was failure and you beat up yourself, then yeah, that's where you're going to be. So you must move beyond your past, no matter what, in order to be better than yesterday. Insight, you know, you can look into, and it's a powerful, powerful thing that covers, you know, how we make judgment calls. It's the capacity to gain an accurate and deep intuitive understanding or awareness of a person, a thing, or a present situation. You may have insight into a situation, you may have insight even into a person. It's discernment. It's all part of the same thing. And then foresight. We talked about, look, strategy, forward looking, that's all important. Even God told Abraham, in Genesis 13, verses 14 to 15, God told Abraham, look, from where you are, look around you. Look to the left, east, west, right, south, all of that. It's what you see that I'm going to give you. Now that's foresight. So you can apply that to yourself. You got to dream big. To see it is to get there. The future you see today is where you can be tomorrow. If you don't see it, you may never get there. You see it, you plan and walk towards it. We gave a powerful scripture in John chapter 16 and verse 13, which is the role of the Holy Spirit to help us to see the future as it applies to our lives, not just prophetic events in the world. Jesus said, look, the Holy Spirit, when it comes, it will guide you. It will be your personal guide through life. Show you things to come. So, you know, I gave an example even for sickness. You know, you may be sick today. The Holy Spirit will show you that you're already well. You latch onto that. You see yourself well. You know, somebody that's in a wheelchair today, they can see themselves walking and healed. You know, Holy Spirit show you that. You latch onto that. You believe God with all your heart. The next thing you know, there's a miracle on your hands. You know, Holy Spirit, powerful companion through life. You know, he will give you foresight. You know, foresight is very important. And if you can't dream big and so on, then you dream little, maybe, and then you will not amount to much. Increasing your horizon, seeing farther out, strategy and planning, thinking bigger, you know. Isaiah 54, it says, look, enlarge the place of your tents and let them stretch out the curtains of your habitations. You know, expand yourself on every side because you say you will break forth. Well, the key thing behind that is first, you have to be a visionary of greater things to come. You have to see it. The people in the great people in the world that have given us great advances in science and technology, you know, they had to see things that others could not see. You know, so the way that you do it is to see ahead. Let me read this to you in Isaiah 54 verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that is not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that is not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate. I mean, the person is, at the time they are desolate, this scripture is making them see their children. More are the children of the desolate than even of the married wife, saith the Lord. I mean, this is foresight. It's a visionary thing. At this moment, you're barren, you are desolate, but the Lord is saying you have more children than those that are married. It's coming. You know, he said, enlarge the place of your tent. You know, let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spear not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You know, you got to think big. Hallelujah. Because thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And so on and so forth. So powerful things about foresight. You know, and then I think last but not the least, we also covered sound judgment. Sound judgment is kind of like all of them put together. Now, many of these pillars overlap. You know, sound judgment is like all of it put together. You know, and here's a definition that I gave for sound judgment. You know, the quality of having We know it's also a pillar, right? It's called sound wisdom in the Bible, but I call it sound judgment. It's the quality of having experience, understanding, knowledge, and discernment. Be able to exercise discretion, counsel, and the ability of making good decisions. You know, it is the ability of being able to objectively assess situations and circumstances and using all the relevant information, grounded in facts, and applying past experience in order to come to a conclusion or make a decision. We saw Solomon using sound judgment in 1 Kings chapter 3. And then we talked about the story of the wise and foolish virgins, which Jesus himself told. The wise virgins used sound judgment to analyze the situation, to realize that the oil, the extra oil they had would not be sufficient if they gave it away to someone else. And they said, no, go get for yourselves. And I brought out the importance and the ability to learn how and when to say no. And if you don't know how to say no, people take advantage of you all the time to your own detriment. And somebody's lack of planning may become your own emergency if you do not know how to say no. But these wise ones, they knew how to say no. I also challenge people to think of things differently. When you say no, people say you have no love. But that's not what Jesus was teaching us here. You know, it wasn't about love. It was about sound decision. You know, knowing that, look, you know, I've made plans for the future. You didn't make plans. I'm not going to let you ruin me. Anchors that are trying to hold you down from setting sail, cut them loose. Cut the anchor loose. Anchor is good sometimes, you know, but sometimes when you're trying to move and the anchor is still holding you, you got to cut it loose. And there are some people that you got to cut loose. But if you don't have sound judgment, you won't know how to do that. You know, sound judgment also is, you know, behind us making responsible choices. There are people that blame others for everything that happened in their life. It's been from the beginning. It's nothing new. We saw, you know, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, you know, and so on. Esau blamed Jacob for stealing his birthright, whereas he was the one that sold the birthright. Nobody put a gun to his head, you know, and even they put a gun to the head, there were still choices. But he sold his birthright, and later he regretted it. But he blamed Jacob for it. But he was the one that sold it. You know, so decisions, you know, we got to make sound judgment. We talk about even in our lives, you know, when Holy Spirit is sending signals and showing you red flags in a relationship that may turn out to be toxic later on, Holy Spirit show you signs of it. If you do not make sound judgment, you just ignore it, you're going to end up in big trouble. You know, so sound judgment, you know, knowing when to say no. Four important decisions we have to make in our lives. Choosing the Christ as the Lord of your life. Number one, and the most critical thing we will ever do in this life. You know, who will you marry if you are not yet married? You know, if you marry the right person, they become your prayer partner. If you marry the wrong person, they become your prayer point throughout your life. You know, so what's it going to be? You know, what are you going to do with your life? You know, in other words, how will you fulfill your divine assignment? This is different from career choice. Career choice is number four. Your career choice you choose may actually impact your ability to fulfill your divine assignment sometimes. You know, so examples of people who made sound judgment, David and his companions, they decided not to eat the dainty meats of the king. They would stay with things that they knew were healthy for them. And they turned out better. You know, Daniel made a choice not to yield to the ungodly law that tried to force him to give up prayer to his God. It was a choice. Joseph made a choice not to yield to temptations when the seductress. It was a choice. You know, and so on and so forth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they analyzed the situation. They said, look, we're not, you know, we know God will deliver, but even if he doesn't, you know, this is a choice we've made. sound judgment. We will not bow down because, you know, they knew the implications of denying God and they stood for their faith. They made that sound, they used sound judgment to make the right choice. You know, sound judgment can be learned. All of these things can actually be learned because we are instructed to seek learning. You know, studying the word of God, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 9. We can learn all these things that we've been talking. It can be taught, just like we've been trying to teach it here in these lessons. You yourself can learn it by giving heed to the word of God, you know. So, you know, let's read quickly Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, you know, well, let me start it from. Let me start it from verse 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2. Incline your ear unto wisdom, apply your heart unto understanding. You know, receive my words and hide not my commandments, he tells him. If you cry after knowledge, lift up your voice after understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as hid treasures. Then, you know, you will understand all these things. Understand the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord can even be learned and taught to our children. If you understand the knowledge of God, the Lord will give you wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord layeth up sound judgment in the heart of the righteous. So all of these things can be learned. And the source of all is the Holy Spirit, God himself. We talk about the inspiration of the Almighty coming from God. You know, that he puts in your spirit. Job 32 and verse 8. And on and on and on. And throughout the lessons, we pray that the Lord will help us to acquire these pillars and use them in our lives. The end game, the end result, and the purpose of all of this is to have better outcomes for our lives. No matter where we are now, no matter how we got there, as long as we're still living, there's still room and opportunity to, you know, do something differently. Where we are today may be a result of choices we made in the past. You know, I mean, for the most times, that's it. You know, you made a choice in the past. You took a path. I mean, you're going the road and then you're on the road on a journey and there's a split. You can go this way, you can go that way. Well, where you end up, you know, may be a result of the path you take. You know, so am I going this way? Or am I going to go that way? You know, so that's important. And when we look at our current life and see the impact of decisions we've made before and what is having on us now, that should give us, you know, the desire to seek the Lord to help us make better decisions now that can influence the future for better outcomes. So there's always opportunity to fix those cracks and have better outcomes. So that's been the purpose of this lesson, to give us an understanding of, you know, the true kind of wisdom that comes from God. And all these pillars together are what gives strength to the house that wisdom is building. You know, strength in particular, I didn't call it as one of the pillars. Some people call strength as a pillar. No. But all these pillars together give strength to the house that wisdom is building. And Jesus said, look, a man that hears my words and does them, I will liken to a wise man that built his house upon the rock, which when the floods came up against the house withstood that because it was founded on a rock. And then he turned around and said, but to the person that hears all these things that I'm saying, but will not take heed to them, I will liken him unto a foolish man, built his house on the sand, which when the floods and tempest rose up against it, the house fell, because it was built on the sand, and great was the fall of it. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, you know, that's a wrap up, a summary of everything I tried to do in less than an hour. All the things that we've done in 8 days, that's a lot. That's why I went through very quickly. But there you have it. You can go back and listen to the replays. That concludes our series on the pillars of wisdom and on wisdom in general, starting from what real divine wisdom looks like and onto all the wisdom pillars one by one. And don't know when I will do this again, you know, but now you have it. You have it on record. You have it on the replays. You have the scriptures. You have everything that you can use to improve yourself. Thank you for listening. That's been our wisdom series. Now I'm going to pray over the room and then I will yield to people to come and talk about what they've learned through this time of sitting in, you know, and learning about wisdom. Don't forget the story of Martha and Mary, which Mary, she sat down at the feet of Jesus. Martha was busy running around. You know, and Jesus, when Martha came to accuse Mary of not helping her and asking Jesus to tell her to get up and help her, Jesus said no. You know, so said, look, you have chosen to run around, but this woman has chosen the needful part and it will not be taken from her. So I'm going to pray right now over the room, and I'm going to ask that the Lord will help us and give us understanding concerning all the things that we have learned, how to develop ourselves in this, with these pillars. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the great governor that guides us through life. And may we lend our spirits and our hearts unto him and be teachable, be easy to be entreated, that we may be peaceable, that we may have purity of heart without offense, conscience void of offense to any man. And that our lives, the wisdom of God in our lives, will be full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Thank you, Father, for all these things we've learned. The fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. We've learned about, you know, understanding. We've learned about prudence. We've learned about counsel. We've learned about discretion. We've learned about, you know, sound judgment, counsel, all of them. May we take these lessons and apply them in our lives for better outcomes. And I pray for everyone that's listening to these lessons that they will not be discouraged, that we may learn even from the past, even if we have made mistakes in the past. You know, today we still have opportunity to fix the cracks and come out with a better outcome. Glory to God. So, Lord, we thank you for that. You know, hindsight helps us to learn over about things from the past, and using insight to look into all the situations, both in the past and foresight for the future, we can prepare ourselves for a better tomorrow. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.